Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. I'm the president of Texas Values. Texas Values is the largest statewide organization that focuses on faith, family, and freedom. And that takes place on the issues of religious freedom, marriage and family, and pro-life. I'm a licensed attorney here in the state of Texas. I've been doing this work for over 10 years. Originally worked with Liberty Institute and the great Kelly Shackelford, who leads that organization. We spun off of Liberty Institute a couple of years ago to start an organization that focuses just on issues here in the state of Texas. And that could be in the courtroom, that could be in the court of public opinion, if you will, that could be in the legislature. And so you'll see me oftentimes doing work on local media in throughout the state. As a matter of fact, I just recorded a interview earlier this week, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But you'll hear us, obviously, we do a weekly radio show. So if you're just tuning in for the first time, we're going to be here with you every Saturday from 12 to 12:30 on this radio station, and you can listen to us online if you're outside of the Central Texas area, which I'm sure many of you are doing right now. But yeah, I'm fifth generation Texan, blessed to be in the state of Texas. You know, I think about that sometimes. I think, you know, I don't know that I've ever actually lived outside of our state as much as I've traveled around the country. I think I had about a 5-week stint, if you will, in Florida when I was a law student and I was working for a nonprofit organization. But proud to be a Texan and proud to stand for Texas values. And so I'm glad you're with us here on the show today. And what we do is we talk about issues of public policy, of legal issues, and just things that people are talking about and care about, and particularly when it, as it relates to religious freedom, and it relates to marriage issue, it relates to the issues of life. And goodness sakes, is there not a lot going on these days on those issues? I mean, it looks like every day you see another article, something else coming up on the issue of marriage, on the issue of religious freedom, on the issue of life. And, you know, it seems to be that people love to discuss these issues, but it seems to be there's a concerted effort for people to try to change these issues and redefine them, if you will. We know about the efforts to redefine marriage. They've been going on for the last year or so. And it's interesting, you know, when you think about the issue of marriage, you know, what people are starting to, at least in the media and the folks that want to redefine marriage talk about a lot, they're now starting to try to isolate states like Texas and say, oh, there's only, you know, there's only 12 or so states now that have marriage laws between one man and one woman. So all these other, you know, people in these other states have changed their opinion. Not so fast, okay? Because we know the only reason that there has been real significant change as far as marriages between same sex being recognized in other states, it's not because they've been voting on that at the ballot box. Marriage has been redefined, at least for now, in those other states because the courts have done this. Unelected federal judges, largely directed by the Obama administration, have been involved in this radical redefinition of marriage. And when people think about that, they'll think, okay, well, that's the marriage issue. There are other issues us to deal with. But you know what we're finding out is the issue of marriage being redefined is actually now being used as a weapon to take away our religious freedom rights. And we're seeing this across the country. You know, we don't have to go that far, though. We look at our own state of Texas. We're seeing this issue come up a lot. It's a big concern. And we're involved in an effort actually to have an editorial published in the Statesman on this issue, because there's been tremendous attacks on the religious freedom issue from the media, but you hardly ever see someone getting to respond and talking about why religious freedom is important, and particularly not just including the issue of same-sex marriage and homosexuality, but there are so many other issues that religious freedom relates to. And if we don't have robust religious freedom in our state or across the country, there's going to be tremendous suffering and tremendous punishment from the government, and particularly for small businesses and large businesses like Hobby Lobby. And so, but I want to take you back for a second on this issue when we talk about marriage and it being redefined, because, you know, close to 40 states had marriage laws on the books, had constitutional amendments that define marriage as one man and one woman. And the reason that those were in place was because you had people that went to the ballot box. And often a lot of these states, before they could even go to the ballot box, you had to have 2/3 of the House and 2/3 of the state Senate vote in favor of marriage as one man and one woman. That's what we did in the state of Texas. That was in 2005. And let me tell you, I've done a lot of work at the Capitol. Getting two-thirds of the House and Senate to agree on anything is quite extraordinary. But even the issue of marriage at that time, there was some opposition. And I think there were just one or two votes that put us over the top as far as getting that marriage law passed. And then it went to the ballot box. When the issue went to the ballot box of the definition of marriage here in our own state, 253 of the 254 counties voted by a majority in favor of marriage as one man and one woman. That's how decisive of a victory it was. And 76% of the people that went to the ballot, that was 1.7 million people, voted in favor of marriage. And what you'll hear the other side say a lot is, oh, well, you know, we have over 25 million, I don't know what the number is now, of people that live in our state, and there are all these registered voters. You only got 1.7 million to vote in favor of marriage? Well, yeah, that was 76% of the people that actually went to the ballot box. So if we had had more people, maybe the victory would have been even more resounding. But they'll try to make the point that, well, not that many people voted on it. Well, when the election was held, our side won, if you will, by 76%. And so when they try to make the argument that, well, you know, there weren't that many people that showed up at the ballot box, the people that showed up, that's the percentage that voted in favor of it. And so they want you to believe that, oh, if more people had showed up, then maybe, you know, the decision and the vote would have been different. There's no evidence of that. I firmly believe when 253 of the 254 counties vote majority, if more people would have actually shown up than the about the 17% that did, we'd have had a more resounding victory. And historically, when you deal with constitutional amendments, getting 17% of the people that are registered to vote to the ballot is quite extraordinary in and of itself. And that was one of the high marks because the issue of marriage was on the ballot, and that was a pretty big deal. But, you know, so it's important to kind of know our history and from where this comes from. But so now, just within a year or so, you'll see media reports on the marriage issue, and they're like, oh, well, there are only 12 or 13 states now that recognize marriage as one man and one woman. That is not because people's attitudes have changed. And I will admit, there's been some change as far as public opinion on this, but why haven't we seen that at the ballot box? You know, the case really has not been made for this type of change. The reason we've seen radical change is, number one, the president, Obama, okay, our current president, Barack Obama, started directing it through his attorney general for local states' attorneys general to not defend our marriage laws, suggesting to them that they shouldn't because the federal government was not going to. And that's what happened in the Windsor case. Leading up to that point, the federal government and the attorney general's office at the federal level was engaged in efforts saying they weren't going to defend our marriage laws at the federal level anymore because they felt they were unconstitutional. What would that be like if that's what our attorney general here in our state said? Well, they make their own judgment. I think that law is unconstitutional. We're just not going to enforce it. You know, forget about what the people voted for, the will of the people. We're going to have an attorney general who's going to pick and choose what laws they decide. That's not their role, people. As we know, that is not their role. Their role is to defend the law. Now, if a judge says it's unconstitutional, that's another issue. But you had the federal government saying they weren't even going to defend the law, signaling to all these attorney generals to back off as well. And so I think that certainly had an impact on the judiciary. It might have had an impact on how strong the cases were being made in some of these states when the marriage laws were being defended. But nonetheless, you had this environment where people were all of a sudden retreating before a decision was even being made on these issues. So you've got a dozen or so unelected federal judges that start striking down marriage laws all across the country. But we really have not seen a large number of states, I think there may be a handful, that have actually voted in a way to suggest that they want their laws to be opened up to not just between one man and one woman, which could be a whole lot of things. I mean, it's not just about between people of the same sex. If you start redefining marriage and changing the principles of what marriage is defined in and based on, why would you be able to limit it anyway? If it's just about, you know, so-called who we love, who someone loves, why would there be any restrictions on it? I mean, we currently have restrictions on incest. We currently have restrictions on you can't marry someone who was one of your stepchildren. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that. There are quite a few limitations on marriage laws in our state. And so if it's just about who you have a loving relationship with, you will, that could be determined or defined as quite a few different things. And that's what they're doing in Massachusetts. They led the effort, or one of the states that was the first to recognize marriage between people of the same sex. Now they've got a group of three women calling themselves a thruple. One of the women, instead of couple, putting a THR in the front of that. There's three women. They want to consider themselves married. Why wouldn't that happen in other states? If it can't be defined as just one man and one woman, why would we be able to limit it anywhere? It's very important to understand these principles that are undermining our policies or in the principles that our laws have been based on. And if you start changing them for one group of people, it's going to be hard to make the argument that you could limit it in any other cases. And so that's what's at stake here. But why we see it intersecting with the issue of religious freedom is because so many people, as we know, base their opinion and their belief and their support for marriage between one man and one woman because of their religious beliefs. Many of them are Bible-believing Christians. One of those happens to be Craig James, who is a sportscaster from the state of Texas, who ran for U.S. Senate. He ran for Senate, and during his Senate campaign, he made comments about how he supported marriage between one man and one woman. Well, guess what? Later on, Fox Sports decided to fire him, not based on comments that he made on the station when he was broadcasting a football game. No, no, no. He wasn't saying, oh, this guy broke away for a touchdown. And by the way, I support marriage between man and a woman and not same-sex marriage. No, no, no. That's not what happened. What happened was they found out that Craig James made comments on the Senate campaign, not before he was being hired and working for Fox Sports. So they found out about something he did way before. And based on that, they fired him for his biblical beliefs on marriage. That is why the intersection of marriage and religious freedom is happening. That's why we're seeing it happen. And that's why we're so concerned about these issues. But, you know, this is not the only time that the religious freedom issue comes up in that context. But that's where we're seeing quite often. And that's why you will oftentimes hear us say that the efforts to redefine marriage will be used as weapons to attack people of faith. Okay. And when we say that, what we mean is when the law is changed on the issue of marriage, if and when it is in Texas, people of faith will use the government to then come after you and punish you because you don't support or agree with that definition of marriage in some way. And it may turn out to be something that you actually decide to do or not do, that the government says, no, no, you're going to do this. And if you don't, you will be punished or you will be fined. We're seeing this happen in other states. You know, we're seeing people that, whether it's a shirt maker or a cake baker, saying, hey, I will bake a cake for someone of the same sex for their birthday, whatever events, or I will photograph a same-sex couple, but I don't want to be forced to participate in their wedding ceremony by photographing them in that context. So what people do is they take a law that's changed, whether it's in Houston or San Antonio or other parts of the country where they live, they take a so-called discrimination law and say, wait a minute, I can't be treated one way or the other based on sexual orientation or gender identity, and so I'm going to use this law to force you to participate in this same-sex wedding ceremony. And if you do, you can't say that it's your religious beliefs as the reason for you not doing that. So they use these laws as a weapon to attack people of faith and force you to do something that violates your conscience. And if you don't, you get punished by the government. That is the context and that is the backdrop of these issues that we're seeing. And sometimes it's not even something that you might do. Like for the instance in Craig James, and I was spending some time a couple of weeks with the fire chief from Atlanta, who simply wrote about his biblical views on marriage in a book and shared the book with some people that he worked with who had asked for it. And because of something he wrote in a book, not anything he did to another employee, not any type of action he took as the fire chief, something that he did regarding his personal beliefs on marriage, based on his religious beliefs, got him fired from being fire chief in Atlanta. And so it seems as if the efforts by some are to make it illegal for you to speak or believe or do anything to suggest that you support marriage between one man and one woman. What we were led to believe before was this was about, let us do what we want in our own bedroom. The last time I checked, there aren't any laws that restrict people of the same sex from doing what they want in their bedroom. This is not about that issue. There's nothing that restricts them from living whoever they want to live with. This is about them getting the government to not only approve of their lifestyle and their decisions on these issues and getting benefits and taxpayer funding and so on because of this, but also having a weapon in the form of government power and a law to turn around and say, oh, now we're going to punish you because you have a difference of opinion on this, even if it's based on the religious belief. What that means is someone's choice of sexual behavior will now trump the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. That's how dramatic this issue has become and the impact it has had. And so that's why we see people being so aggressive on these issues regarding marriage and religious freedom and getting very concerned. Because we have moved from this place of when, for some people, tried to convince us it's just about what they want to do in their bedroom. Now they're coming into your personal space. There's a bill that was considered this week on this issue, House Bill 537, which could remove the references of mother and father from birth certificates. This new law is being pushed by homosexual advocates that want to change our law. They want to strike a line through mother and father in our current statute, and they want some birth certificates to be to remove mother and father and replace them with parent one or parent two, or to have some type of line there that doesn't just reference mother and father. Because if there's people of the same sex, two of them, I guess they believe, you know, both of them are mothers or both of them are fathers or whatever the issue may be. But the State Department of Health Service has said if you change one birth certificate form, they're likely to have to change all of them, so they'll have some type of uniformity when it comes to their birth certificate forms. And it certainly, and this is what the State Department of Health Service says, it is possible that mother and father could be removed because of that. And you could be replaced with parent one and parent two. That's now their decision about their lifestyle impacting your personal life. I mean, would it be fair to say that if you lose the right to list yourself as mother and father on a birth certificate, if you have a child in the future, that that affects your personal life? I think it's pretty fair to say that that's a strong argument to make on that issue. And so these are some of the things that we see happening at the Capitol this week, and people are, you know, expressing a lot of concern about these issues. But we see these attacks continue to come. And so, but you know what's interesting is then when you see our side say, you know what? Okay, we're going to respond. We're going to do something about this because there's a legitimate concern. And one of those things that happened, excuse me, was a lawsuit that was filed by our Attorney General Ken Paxton earlier this week. So the Attorney General, part of the Attorney General's duty is to defend our Constitution and our state laws. But we have seen growing attacks from the federal government on this issue. I mean, here we go. Another example of Obama administration trying to force the state of Texas to do their things their way and treading on our state sovereignty and trying to use federal law to overrun our state laws. So what happened here was there are federal rules about what a spouse means and how it's recognized in federal at the federal government. And that relates in this issue to how people get medical benefits or family leave benefits. What that means is if the government will bless, if you will, time that you take off and you can somehow use that as credit for taking time off if you're a government employee, and I don't know, it may even relate to private employers as well, but there are federal laws about time that employers have to at least give you off if you request them. And so in this case, right now, someone of the same sex, if they want to take their personal time off to take care of someone, if they want to do that on the weekend, nothing prevents them from doing that. Nothing prevents them from caring for someone that they love or they care about. What this is about is using the federal government to give their approval as a new definition of spouse between people of the same sex to then use government time or government approval for them to take off. It's not about anyone not being able to take care of someone when they want to. It's about having the government involved in their decision, which makes absolutely no sense to the argument we heard for so many years. They want the government out of their lives. They want the government out of their bedroom. Then why are they calling on the government to change a rule for them to now recognize them? They do want the government involved in their lives, obviously. They want the government to bless this time and to use for them to get this, you know, government approval for them to take time off. Even though they've got the freedom to care for someone now if they want. There's no laws that prevent people of the same sex from living together. They want the government to give them a government-issued license to wed, all those things. So anyway, so our attorney general says he's stepping in on this. Why? Because our laws are still in place that marriage is between one man and one woman. And this new rule that would change the definition of spouse would force us as a state to recognize the definition of marriage or couple that the federal government wants to institute and force on us. The Supreme Court has said you cannot do that. That was what the Windsor marriage decision was about primarily, was that the federal government could not force a definition of marriage on a state if that's not the definition that the state already had. That's what that case was really about, even though it's been distorted. So we have our attorney general well within his right to say we are not going to allow the federal government to violate a U.S. Supreme Court decision or our state law. Now, if we need to change the policies at the government level about what type of government time and blessing we give over when people take time off of work, then there's a process and a way to do that. Not by some agency rule that the federal government tries to force on us that violates a U.S. Supreme Court decision and our state laws. They could do that through the legislative process here in our state or at the federal level. They could pass something through Congress or they could change our marriage laws in Texas. But you know what? There hasn't been support for that. So they should not be able to play by a different set of rules or break the rules, if you will, just because of their opinion on this issue. You have to follow the process if you want any laws to be respected. So we applaud the Attorney General for getting involved in this issue because someone has had to take a stand. And I'm already hearing other states are already starting to come on board with this. And we're encouraged by that. But you know, when we engage in a process where we pass laws, they mean something and they stand for something. And if we continue to allow, whether it's the federal government or if it's the mayor and Anise Parker in Houston or whoever it is who try to operate by a different set of rules and think that they are above the law, our attorney general has every right to hold them accountable. And let me tell you, it takes a lot of courage to do that these days, obviously, when it comes to the issue of marriage. Because when you put yourself out there publicly, standing for the biblical definition of marriage, whether you're an elected official, whether you own a big business, whether you're Craig James, whoever you are, wow, the people that want marriage redefined, they seem to come after you from every angle. And they want you to lose your job. They want you to obviously be punished in some way and shamed primarily. They want you to be ashamed of the word of God in the Bible. And they want you to believe really the only way, the place it's safe to talk about it is somewhere, and I don't even know if they think it should be safe to have this view in churches anymore. There's been so much pressure. I mean, you might have seen the Presbyterian Church USA, I believe was the denomination. They've now changed their position on this issue and said they're going to start recognizing marriages of the same sex. And that is not just happening in a vacuum. There are people that have been pressuring churches and people or faith leaders for years and trying to shame them on this issue. And so we're going to continue to see more pressure and attention on that. But that's why we continue to stand forward. We did a media interview on this on Fox 7 in the Central Texas area. And we're hoping that we're going to get something published in the Statesman on this issue of marriage and religious freedom. So look for that if you haven't seen it already. But the way to get engaged too, though, is to get yourself to quit. We've got a link on our website to get a Texas legislative guide, and that's at txvalues.org. You know, we're a nonprofit organization, and the work we do and the donations that come into Texas Values at txvalues.org are tax deductible to the extent allowed by federal law. We are a 501c3 organization, but we want you to get equipped. So if you download our Texas legislative guide or you order them, you can find out how the legislative process works, how to get in touch with elected officials, how to equip yourself on what the information is out there, and how to be effective. And so I'm encouraged to continue to be involved in these type of issues. And you know, the reason that we've started this radio show and got involved is because we know that there is a competition for information out there. And we know, unfortunately, that you cannot rely on kind of the historical sources of media to tell you exactly what's going on. But we have people like myself and members of our staff, we are on the ground at the Capitol almost every day. We are reading through the news sources. We are reading through the legislation. We are monitoring lawsuits that have been filed. We are in the process of filing our own brief before the U.S. Supreme Court on the issue of marriage, defending marriage as one man and one woman. And so I'm probably involved in media interviews almost every single day. And that's being the voice of truth, to borrow from my friends at Casting Crowns. We're still praying for Mark Hall over there, who's going through a battle of cancer. But to be the voice of truth in Texas on these issues. And so, you know, as we conclude our radio program for the week, invite you to come back. We're here every Saturday from 12 to 12:30. And then in the meantime, you can engage with us at txvalues.org online. But I want to leave you with one of my favorite Bible verses, and it's Proverbs 18:17. And it says, "He who presents his case first seems right until someone steps forth to challenge them." And so I encourage you to be that person that steps forth and challenges someone, whether it's a friend, a family member, somebody you work with, people that you talk with in your community, to not be afraid to be that voice of truth and stand forward. And that's what I'm going to continue to do, and that's what Texas Values will continue to do. And so thanks for being with us again here at this edition of Texas Values Report. I'm Jonathan Steins, standing with you for faith, family, and freedom in Texas.